Praise the Lord. We just want to begin a study here on just a different book. We're going to continue in Jude last time, but we preached Wednesday and sort of preached all of our material, so we didn't have anything to continue as far as a lesson goes. So I just felt led to go in this direction of Philippians. We just want to begin reading here at Philippians 3, and we'll just read verse 20 and verse 21, small little book. Verse 20, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." Amen. You can be seated this morning. So we look at this book of Philippians, and if you've read it, or any of it, I'm sure recently it's just a little four-chapter book. It's one of the four letters that Paul wrote while he was in prison. And you see that Paul comes here, I think it was history teaches, on a second missionary journey. And he spends about 3 months in the city. And God directly leads him by vision. You can find that in the book of Acts. God directly leads Paul by vision to go into Macedonia, and this would be the entrance through Philippi. And we see that it's out of the four epistles in the Bible, you have this book of Philippians that he writes. He writes also Ephesians, Colossians, and Philemon. Those are the other three prison books or prison epistles that he wrote in jail. And it's the one where he speaks of Epaphroditus, and it's an interesting character that you'll find the Apostle Paul talking to, that he comes to him with money from the church of Philippi to support his ministry. And you find that the Apostle Paul in the book of Philippians, what makes it so unique from Colossians and Philemon and Ephesians, is that Paul doesn't write this letter in any corrective way. He's not coming and writing them to correct them for something, but actually the church at Philippi was the most obedient church with the least amount of problems out of all the other churches. And so when Paul brings this letter to them, this is where in the book of Philippians you find, "He who began a good work in you will perfect it unto the day of Christ." You also find, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. You know the scripture, "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." These are all found in the book of Philippians. And so Paul is bringing to these people joy, and he's bringing to them good tidings. And you'll find that through the entire book. This was this church of Philippi, and as we go through this study, I'll only have time just to lay a little foundation into the book, and then I'll bring out something practical just from it, and then the next Sunday school will teach further on it. But you see here now I lost my train of thought, but in Philippi, Paul brings this letter. It's of glad tidings. It's of joy. He's not writing them to correct him, but actually this was the only church that supported Paul financially. He had no other support. This is where he got support for his ministry, and this is where you find Epaphroditus bringing him an offering from the people. But we see here, this is the city, the modern, what you find today of the city of Philippi, and we subtitle this "A Colony from Heaven," and we get this title from this verse 20. If you have your Bible, just focus on that verse. "For our conversation is in heaven." Actually, this word "conversation," don't think of conversation as we think of the word conversation, but actually its Greek word comes, and it actually means a colony or a citizenship. So Paul is saying our citizenship is from heaven. Look here at the map. Well, this is actually Acts 20. Where you find the story, Philippi after the days of unleavened bread. This is not coming up real clear on the screen, and I'm not sure why, brothers, but it's okay. Hope the rest of my slides show good. It's Acts 20, verse 6, "And we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, wherein we abode 7 days. So this is a map, good, that showed of the Apostle Paul's journey. And this is going to be a very important city. Philippi is going to be crucial. It's a key city. You see that it's, and this pointer won't work here, but you can see up on the very top, it says Philippi, Neapolis, and Troas. And so Paul leaves Troas by vision, and he lands in Neapolis. But he actually doesn't spend any time in Neapolis at all. Paul actually moves through Troas and through Neapolis without spending any time. And the reason is that Paul doesn't have, he only has one life. And so God doesn't have time for Paul to stop at every single city and preach. So what God does is he sends his messenger to the key posts, the key cities of the land of Macedonia. And so one of the key cities is going to be Philippi. And the reason, and this picture doesn't show it, we'd have to show a different one to show you. But right above Philippi, you see that Philippi sits, the road actually, and I wish I would have wore my lapel but so I could walk over there. But from the very top part of the picture of Macedonia, Philippi actually is at the center of the east and west routes of Rome. This is the central pathway. This is the central city from east and west. And not only that, but Philippi actually also has a road, because if you were to see, let me show you our picture, if we have that, and I just don't have control anymore. But if you look at our picture here, this picture doesn't show it either. But from the modern city of Philippi, you'd find over that hill a set of mountains. This mountain is actually what led into Europe. So Philippi was different, and this is going to make sense here in a minute, because it had a road that actually led through the mountains. This is why this city was important in history, and it was a very crucial city that many wars that defined history were fought at Philippi. It was a strategic spot because whoever controlled Philippi controlled the rest of Europe. And so it's conquered, and it's conquered, and you could read history, it's conquered by many different kings. It's finally conquered by Augustus, the Roman emperor. And they want this city because this city has a pass-through that goes all the way to Europe. So it's a strategic outpost. Interestingly, as you see what it looks like now, it's not much of nothing now. I think there's a modern city built there. But actually, this was a great Roman city. It wasn't Rome, but it was an outpost. It was a colony. So it had the same rights. If you were a Roman citizen, you can go and live and have the same rights you would in Italy, living in Philippi. And to a Roman citizenship meant a lot. It was very important to be a Roman citizen. It came with great pride, but it also gave you rights to certain things that other people didn't have. It's interesting because just recently, very recent, they actually found a tomb of a king. And you've heard of the king, King Tut. But actually, second only to King Tut's tomb was this tomb that they found. And in the tomb was treasures and gold and diamonds and silver. It was a very recent discovery. And they actually found it was the tomb of King Philip. And so this is second only to King Tut. Now, who was King Philip? Philip's son was named Alexander, who we know as Alexander the Great. And so this was actually the city of Philip, the Roman emperor. Philip was the king of northern Greece, but this was a very a centerpiece in history, this city of Philippi. And Paul comes, as you look on our map here. So it was conquered. You can read the history of Cleopatra and different ones. It was conquered through, but it was finally conquered through King Augustus, the Roman. And he names it, he gives it a very fancy name that I won't even try to interpret, but it's Augustine of this, of that, and then at the end, Philippi. And so it's named Philippi. And this is where we find the letter. And we see here that it's a very strategic city that a lot of kings have their eye on, but another king, a greater king, had his eye on this city, and that was King Jesus. And this is why he sends Paul to this city, because this is going to be the center of the gospel that would come to Europe. And so we see here, and I'll just read for our conversation, this is where we find our scripture for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, our conversation, our citizenship. So we find here that Paul comes to this city, and he brings them this letter. But when he arrives, there's actually no believers. The only believers that he found was a woman, a woman's prayer group, prayer and Bible study group, a woman named Lydia, a businesswoman. And so Paul starts from this little women's prayer meeting. Paul starts his work and his journey. And the work that we find in all of Europe comes at the center of this city, Philippi. And so that's just a little bit of history, just to bring you up to speed on where we're at and what this means. But we want to center on this verse here. Look in your Bible. We want to center on this verse in verse 20. And it says, for our conversation, now remember, this is the message, this is the letter he writes to the Philippians, for our conversation is in heaven, or our citizenship. This word, as we said already, is translated citizenship. And another translation calls it, and you can read different translations in the Bible. I think the NIV calls it the commonwealth, for we, our commonwealth is in heaven. Another translation calls it our homeland. And remember, there's a reason that the Apostle Paul is using this kind of language, because he's writing to a colony. He's writing to people that they're strangers in this land, in Greece. They're not from there. But their nation, their kingdom, their homeland, their motherland has started a colony in Philippi. So this is why he uses these words. For our citizenship, our commonwealth, our homeland is from heaven. And so for us as a believer, it has a very deep meaning that our citizenship, our homeland is not here. We come from another nation. We come from another kingdom. The Greek word that Paul uses actually in conversation is politeuma. It's where we get the word politics. So you can see what he's meaning here. It's our citizenship. It's our kingdom. It's how we do our, it's how we manage our affairs. It's where we get politics or politician or even policeman. And so, but the most basic English translation for this word, for our citizenship, our conversation, our citizenship is in heaven. And so let me give you a paraphrase of this in modern English. We believers, we Christians, have our home in heaven, and here on earth we are a colony of heaven's citizens. So that's what exactly what the Apostle Paul is saying. And you know, as I thought about this, I thought, you know, us as we're here from the land of America, you don't have to think very hard to think back to the pilgrims. And I lost power again. There we go. To this picture, the pilgrims. What's amazing, and you can go back and even go into history museums and look, you'll find furniture of the pilgrims. You'll find the clothing that the pilgrims wore. You'll find hats and dresses for the children and cribs and homes and pictures. Because when the Americans came to colonize this country, they didn't come to America to be natives. They didn't come to dress like natives or to live like natives. But they came bearing the lifestyle of the kingdom they were from. They were coming to colonize the area from the way of how they were raised and how they understood life. You see the picture here. They dressed a certain way, because they weren't from here. They were from another place. They spoke with a certain accent. And even in their accent would reveal you're a foreigner and you're a stranger. Let me tell you something. The accent of a believer is very different than the accent of a person of the world. Your accent speaks of a different nation. Your dress, you look like a different person. And you're not here to assimilate to the country that we're in now, but this is Paul's meaning. We're a colony from heaven placed here on earth, and we look different, we dress different, we speak different, we teach our children different things. Amen. Are you with me here today? Amen. So they carried England with them. They didn't come and strip themselves of their roots, but they literally carried and bore the impression of the nation they were from. This is exactly what Paul is meaning when he says, remember, our citizenship is from heaven. and we're a colony, imagine that, we're a colony from heaven. And so to understand this colony, what is a colony? When Paul says our citizenship or a fellowship of believers, a fellowship, Paul actually says a gathering or a communing of believers is a colony of heaven on earth. You can see now why he frames this way, and he references this because Philippi, as we said, was a Roman colony. It was placed in Greece. They weren't from there. They were living. It was an important strategic city, but they were Romans. And in that Roman colony, even though it wasn't in the motherland, even though it was miles away from Italy, yet they possessed the same rights as if they lived at home. Put on your spiritual thinking caps here just for a moment. We may not be in heaven right now, but we literally are a colony of heaven, and we have the rights of heaven even here on earth. We have the rights of citizenship from our Heavenly Father. And our president isn't Donald Trump. No. Praise God. And our governor, our rulers, while we live here on earth, our rulership is from above. Our kingdom is from above. So what does a colony mean? A colony is an outpost or an extension. I love that word because it gives the point the best meaning. It's an extension of the motherland. The colony is an outpost or an extension, or let me say it this way, it's a reproduction in a mini scale of the larger scale city. It's a mini reproduction. Do you realize here, my brothers and my sisters, we are literally a reproduction of another kingdom. We are literally a reproduction. Our lives are a reproduction in a small way of a heavenly kingdom. And a heavenly tongue, and a heavenly people, and a heavenly nation with heavenly rules, and heavenly water, and heavenly food, and heavenly homes. Amen. Amen. That's why the Bible says Abraham sojourned. He saw a country whose builder and maker was God. And so a colony was a little bit of Rome. It was Rome away from Rome, or home away from home. And so Paul was writing this letter to Roman citizens in a colony, as we said, in a distant place, who in spite of the distance from the motherland were still Roman citizens. They were still related to Rome. And even Paul himself was a Roman citizen. And you see that Paul even invokes the citizenship right twice in the book of Acts. You remember when he's with Silas and he comes to Philippi. And he's in, this is where you get the believer, the Philippian jailer. That comes from Paul when he's in Philippi. And let me just say this, anytime Paul ever came to a city, it never ended up to be a peaceful visit. He always ended up being beat, flogged, and put in jail. Because what he was preaching was controversial. You see, the truth, the true gospel is not commonly accepted amongst people. Right? So you only know you're the true gospel and preaching the true gospel when there's opposition to what you're preaching. If everyone is going along with what you're preaching, you probably ain't preaching the true gospel. Somebody say amen. That's an easy ABC kindergarten point. This is why Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. So why would he make the statement unless the gospel was something that some people felt shameful about? Right. So he writes this letter, and he comes to, you remember when he's in jail, and with Silas. And he begins, the Bible says, at about midnight, they begin to sing and praise and sing hymns to God. And what happens? The earthquake comes, and it rattles the jail and the prison, and the earthquake comes, and the prison splits open, and all the prisoners can go free. And the Bible says that the jailer, the Philippian jailer, took his sword out when it happened and went to kill himself because he knew he was just a slave. A jailer was just a slave. It wasn't a high-paying job. It was a tormentuous kind of job. It wasn't a job anybody wanted. But he knew that if all the prisoners go free, guess who's getting hung? him. So he takes a sword, the Bible says. He takes a sword to pierce himself, to stab himself. And Paul says, wait a minute. Wait just a minute. All of us, the Bible says, Paul says, all of us are here and accounted for. And you need Jesus. And Paul leads him through something as simple like that. He leads him to the Lord, and the Bible says, and all of his house believed and were converted and baptized that same day. But here's what happens. The magistrates, the Bible says, and the sergeants, I think that's how you pronounce that word in Acts, but it's the magistrates and the sergeants. The Bible says that the magistrates hear about this, and they tell them, tell Paul to leave. And you know what Paul does? Paul says, hold on just a minute here. They flogged us in public. They made us a public example. So before I leave, the magistrates are going to come down here, and they're going to give me a procession on the street, and they'll walk me out of the city, because this is what Paul says, because they flogged me as a Roman citizen without a trial. And as soon as the magistrate found out he was a Roman citizen, immediately, now he's trying to cover his tracks. So citizenship was Paul does this twice when he's speaking to the chief Roman. And the Roman says, you know, I had to give up. I think he says, I paid a great price for my citizenship. And Paul says, yay, but I was freeborn, a Roman. I was born free. I didn't pay a dime because I was born a Roman. And so he uses this, and that's in Acts 22 when Paul says that. And so that's what the Roman says here. He says, with a great sum, I obtained this freedom. But Paul could say, I was freeborn. And so throughout the Roman Empire in those days, it was a dignity. To be a Roman citizen spoke of something. It meant something to the people. There was an enormous pride that went with being a Roman citizen. Because not only was it pride, but it gave you certain privileges. And it gave you certain protections. And there's a certain privilege to being a believer. And there's certain protections that God gives us as citizens from heaven. So now you can understand why these people could understand Paul's words when he says, we're a colony of heaven on earth. We're a colony of heaven. You know, as a citizen, if you travel into another country, it's extremely important you keep your paperwork. You keep your passport. I don't travel anywhere. I go to another country, it's with me on my person at all times, because it gives me certain rights and privileges to invoke certain rights of a nation that I'm not in, but a nation that I'm from. And let me tell you something, my brother and my sister. God gave us certain passports. God gave us certain material that proved to us. And let me tell you, don't go without them. Don't leave your home without the word constantly on your mind and on your lips. It gives you certain official documents. And we have the word of God for that. But you know, we find this, and I'm running out of time here. But Paul, when he says that you're a colony of heaven, so what is that fellowship to be? What is a church, even a local church that calls themselves a Christian church, a church of believers, is to be an outpost of heaven. A colony of heaven. It's to be a patch of heaven on earth. And, you know, you'll find this in no other place clearer than in Jesus Christ. When Jesus, you notice the words that he says, he spent 33 years on earth. And yet those 30 plus years, he never loses his citizenship. Amen. And that's why Jesus says things like, if my kingdom were of this world, my citizens would fight. But they're not of this world. He says words like, I came from my Father and I go back to my Father. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it weren't so, I would have told you. And so Jesus uses these words, and even the effect of living on earth, he never lost his citizenship. And his citizenship was from above. Let me say it this way. Jesus was a visitor to this earth. Jesus, don't be distracted. Listen, he was a visitor. He had a short visit. You and me, we're visitors. Our visit is going to be short. But one day we're going home. We're going back to home where we belong. Is that how you feel? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the study this morning. Didn't get to nearly what we had upon our heart, Lord, but we thank you, Father, Lord, for the word that you've placed inside of us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that we are pilgrims and strangers. We're not from here. We're from another dimension. We're from another country. We're from another land, Lord. And we bear the marks of that country. We bear even in our appearance, Lord. We bear the appearance of citizens from another country. Here, Lord, we're just in a colony. Lord, a colony on earth. But we want to represent your kingdom, Lord. We want to be ambassadors, Father, from another kingdom, another world, to this dying, sick world that we live in today. Help us, Lord, the remainder of this service. May you be in the songs. May you be in the ministry of your word. We ask in Jesus' name.